地球僕たちの星宇宙僕たちの世界未来僕たちの明日みんな僕たちのもの
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're discussing the X from Outer Space.
Yeah. it's the company is Shochiku from 1967. When I looked up this this company, it seemed like they mostly were a distributor than anything. Yeah, this is interesting. first of all, the theme song is amazing. Now, did you watch it dubbed or did you watch it subtitled? Do you
The one I watched was dubbed, and it was on, the whole thing was free on YouTube.
Now, because the opening theme song is, you know, it's very, you know, 60s kind of music, and then it's on the blue, but then these voices come on during the theme song saying, "Hey, look at space. Check this out."
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Does it do that in the dub?
I'm trying to remember. After I watched it, I watched the trailer.
Okay.
And the trailer was in Japanese, and it said, "Look at our Earth, see how it twinkles."
Yeah.
So I don't know, I don't remember it saying that, but I definitely read that on a subtitled version.
Yeah, that opening theme is amazing.
Yeah. This movie is confusing to me. Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah. So, okay. We start up my first thing I'm talking about, this guy in a suit flies a helicopter and brings this container of stuff. And the guy has his goatee. This character has his goatee, and it was just kind of this weird guy. Like, I didn't get it, but I have a, and watching this thing, because later he's going to fly the helicopter again, I go, I wonder if, because there's like the act, either they hired a helicopter, because there's a guy flying the helicopter, either they hired a helicopter pilot to play this guy in the movie, or they have an actor and a helicopter pilot, so they just put them both in suits, and the easiest way to make them look like it's the same guy is to put a goatee on him. Because I couldn't figure out if this was his, if it was really like, because it seems such a weird choice that this guy had a goatee. And maybe it's just because it's 67. But that was my theory, that the whole reason that guy has a beard, even though he's like some official guy, that kind of beard is because he's got to be able to pass as the same guy who's the pilot, or vice versa.
I didn't get any of that.
I just sat there on that for a while.
His beard did look weird, though.
Yeah, it looked like it. Yeah, that's why, because it looked like maybe it was glued on. Okay.
So there's these unmanned flights that are being intercepted by a UFO in space. Is that right?
Are they unmanned?
That's what I heard. I thought they said unmanned,
because they also talked about that there are people who are now floating in space forever because of,
oh man,
what are these run-ins. Oh, wait a minute.
Because they said they were intercepted by a UFO.
I might be confusing it with another movie. This is what happens when we do double ups.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
But either way, they're now sending a rocket out to space knowing that it could be intercepted by a UFO.
Right. And so they assemble this crack team.
And Lisa,
one conspicuous blonde in the group.
I feel so bad for Lisa.
I have a note. It says they'll be drifting through space forever. So I think there's people that are like gone now. I think I think it's gonna be based on like, if just to, in a way to foreshadow what's coming up, and they know that like they lose power on the ship. You know, when they're up there, and I think it's possible that those people just end up being just randomly circling orbit with no way to get back, because they couldn't
Yeah.
They weren't as good as our AAB Gamma team. Yeah.
Lisa's a biologist, right?
Yeah.
And she gets shit on nonstop.
Yeah, in so many ways. But it's like, this is the team. The team is Captain Sano, Dr. Shioda, Signal Officer Miyamoto, and Lisa.
Yeah.
It's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
It gets embarrassing how far the whole Lisa thing goes.
Yeah, I feel bad for her 100% throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. The stuff that they all like, as in, you know, any actor's really happy to get a job, but the stuff that you go like, oh man, and then you had to do this. Oh man.
So they fire off the rocket and there's all kinds of like business going on and there's things going on. And one of I think it's the dude with the beard walks up to a random guy in the control center and he just says, check that reading.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me laugh because I'm sure that's what he was already doing.
Yeah, well, it's like, first of all, I always write down when things get when they the names that they give things, especially like they'll give names things that are just like letters and numbers, like XTU249.
Yeah,
they called it an astro boat. Made me laugh. Oh, that same guy, the goatee guy, at one point it seems like they have to give him a line to say something and they don't know what it is. Where he sits there, he goes, good luck. He said, yeah, there's this bit where they're going through and they're checking all the different things on the ship. And I think there was a typo in the subtitles because one of them said it was attitude stabilizer.
Is it altitude?
Maybe, but it was called attitude stabilizer. And guess who was on camera at the moment that happened?
Lisa. Oh my gosh.
I shot it on my phone so you can see what that moment is. I do love those kind of sets, like the central control, all like the boxy computer screens and all kinds of lights and switches. All that kitschy stuff. I like the look of the rockets. I think those things are also very awesome.
Like all the miniatures.
Yeah, there's a funny thing. The first time that the rocket took off and that thing that little like thing that holds it up kind of falls away, that little thing.
Yeah.
It slowed down at the end. Like they didn't want it to hit the thing too hard. Later when they go again, that it really drops for real. But this one just kind of made me laugh. They give Miyamoto, I think, they give him crap. They make fun of him because he was talking without turning his mic on for a long time. And apparently that was hilarious. Everyone really thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I also like the very kind of school project quality they have of that orbit map where it's like there's an Earth and there's like a bunch of little light bulbs on it.
Oh, yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. I like that too.
Where it just like lights up on different points on the line.
Yeah, I mean, they cut a lot to watching the astroboat flying around space.
I mean, it did look like a boat. It looked like a kind of a pontoon boat.
Yeah, I love that every time. Every time they'd cut to the ship, as kitschy and so funny and weird it looked. I like the little flames coming out the bottom or when it was coming out the back. I liked too. The big rocket opened up and the boat came out.
Yeah.
And it opens up in a way like you ever heard of, you know what a pair of anguish is?
No.
It's this like medieval torture device. That's like, it looks kind of shaped like a pear.
Okay.
And basically what they do is they put the pear in your mouth and they twist it open and the sides keep opening up wider and wider and wider. Like this ship. So when you look at that ship open up and the boat comes out. Mm-hmm. That's basically the same kind of thing. So now you know what it looks like. But yeah, that's exactly what I was like going, that's like, yeah. It opens up because it doesn't just like just open up like a Pac-Man. It opens up like four ways or something.
Yeah, there's the James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice, has a rocket ship that opens up like that.
And oh, really?
Yeah, and it swallows up like astronaut capsules. And
but You Only Live Twice is later. You Only Live Twice, is that the one where Sean Connery came back? No, that's Never Seen Ever.
It's the same year.
As this movie?
Yeah, 1967.
Wow.
So I don't know if that was like a thing.
Who did it first?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think these guys did it better. It looks really bad and You Only Live Twice.
Yeah, all over the place I have notes that say stuff like Spaceship is amazing.
Yeah, I put, that's what I put, Second Stage looks cool.
Turn on the music and now move about the cabin. It was like...
the jazz.
Yeah.
It was...
There's also like when they would look at the Earth from the ship, uh-huh. You could still see like, it was still kind of like those kind of like bumpy to show texture on the mountain parts of the Earth. Like it was still bumpy. It was like a paper mache Earth.
Yeah. Like no clouds.
Yeah. I wrote, even though way out of space, you can still make out the mountains.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? Yeah. So another thing in the spaceship's equipment, that big snow globe machine.
Yeah.
What was that supposed to do?
I don't know. Look cool, I guess. There's a part where after they take off, the guy with the beard and some of the other dudes down at ground control start questioning the motives of the UFO and the threat of the UFO. But it's like they already sent a spaceship up full of people.
Why didn't they figure this out earlier?
Yeah.
The UFO shows up. And the description from one of the guys in the crew is that it looks like a half-cooked omelet.
Half-cooked omelet?
Yeah, half-cooked omelet. There's that part because like one of the guys starts getting sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lisa feels that we need to treat this guy because he's getting sick. And the captain is like going, no, we have to continue the mission or whatever. And twice he has to shove Lisa out of the way to get to his seat and his controls. Lisa's such a girl with her compassion. then the doctor says, Lisa, I'm a physician. I know my body better than anyone.
they shit on her. It's it's crazy. My note says Lisa gets treated poorly, can't even bring earrings on board without being yelled at. It was relentless. I felt really bad for her.
Yeah, it's so weird. Again, another note. All the space flying is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're flying to the moon base.
Yeah.
Now, at the moon base, we meet the other woman in this is Michiko.
Mm-hmm.
Michiko's got a problem with someone on this flight. when the captain shows his face and she's like, she's suddenly upset. But she's got this cool spinning desk.
Yeah.
Her desk spins around. It was like, for me, I was thinking, imagine like that part when like in like Empire where you catch Darth Vader without his head on.
Yeah.
It spins him around. Mm-hmm. Close the oxygen valve. This is my favorite of the commands. There's like one little box with a little wheel on it. And because at first when he said close the oxygen valve and they all lowered their visors, I was like, that's the valve, is just lower your visors. But there is a little contraption on the thing. And they use it a lot in this movie, considering its job. You know, they uh-huh. turn off the oxygen a lot.
It's like someone found out that was a real thing.
An oxygen valve?
Yeah. When they get to the moon.
Yes.
I don't remember what comes first, but they decide to go out and jump on the moon.
Well, that's a little later. With the hidden trampolines. Well, first they got to eat, and you got to see how big apples grow on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon's got a lot of fun. Is the moon? Yeah, they make the moon look like so much fun.
It's like a resort.
Like the music and the jumping around.
They have man-made water apparently on the moon.
I missed that.
Yeah, dudes bathe together. Ladies shower far apart.
The two men sharing a tub.
Uh-huh.
The water's green. Oh, is that what? Is that the man-made water? It's because it's green.
He mentions man-made water.
Yeah, the two guys bathing, and then they cut to the two women showering in the same little showering area so they can chat while they shower. Where Lisa says, I'd follow Sano no matter how long or hard the journey. And then jealousy starts happening.
Yeah.
The women put on, like, fancy dinner dresses.
Yeah.
The men are still in their silver outfits. We know Lisa definitely wants Sano.
Mm-hmm. Before they leave the moon, everyone's getting on board and they say, where's Miyamoto?
Right.
And they turn around and he runs around the corner followed by a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. He was hanging out with his nerd friends.
Is that what it was?
These were all particularly nerdy dudes.
Well, because I was thinking, since we were talking about Lisa and the dude she likes and all that, that maybe they're suggesting Miyamoto was...
into dudes?
Into dudes.
Okay.
But I don't know. It was a weird moment. It didn't, like... He couldn't just show up with them. He had to be hanging out around the corner with a bunch of dudes.
There's a great line before they're leaving when they're still on the moon base that they say, someone says, there are many aliens and asteroids between here and Mars, so be careful.
Yeah.
So then now they're whatever, they've done what they had to do at the moon base. They now are going to head to Mars. And Lisa has to hand out drinks and food when they're on the ship.
And what's his name complains about it?
Is it the new doctor, Dr. Stein?
Yeah, he said
because the one guy can't go.
Yeah,
so the guy got sick, has space sickness. So Dr. Stein has to go, and he's not happy.
No, and he said that the food alone is not worth the trip.
Yeah, right. He was complaining about how bad the quality of the food was.
Yeah.
And he's blaming Lisa for it. Yeah,
he's blaming Lisa. It was clearly prepackaged. That they had
to do like K-ration stuff.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see that the doctor is speaking English in his, you know, and he's like in my version because his lips match the subtitles even though...
Oh, okay.
It's dubbed with Japanese. A bunch of small asteroids hit the ship and there's a whole sequence when like a whole... It makes a hole in the ship,
uh-huh.
And the guy's butt gets sucked into it.
Uh-huh. There's like all this like Charlie Brown music.
Yeah.
Like it's not even, like none of this stuff is dramatic.
No. Because
the music is just jazz.
It's that weird tone thing. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, you don't take anything seriously. Okay, so then they have to go fix the engine because the engine's got all these like goop, like all these like bumps on it.
Yeah.
I like the sequence of them floating out to the engine.
Yeah, them swinging their legs around.
Yeah, I thought that was great. It was well. They take a sample, they put it in like a Coleman camping lantern.
Uh huh.
So whenever, like either if it's on like their video monitor or even when they return to the moon after this mission, mm-hmm. Anytime Lisa sees Machiko, she's so excited to see her.
Probably because she doesn't treat her like shit.
Yeah, but it's like they're the best of friends.
Yeah.
They bring back a sample and there's, let's have a party at my house.
And then something happens. There's I don't know, there was some weird editing going on. In at least the version I saw, where we get to see a creature, and the creature appears behind a mountain and shows up, and everyone's watching this creature emerge from the mountain.
Uh huh.
And then
is it the DX from Outer Space creature guy?
Yeah.
Oh, it is the guy. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next scene, Lisa discovers a footprint and doesn't know where it came from.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because what happened was when they're at the 60s swinging party,
uh-huh.
They got like a call saying that the place where they had the spore in that little containment area,
uh-huh.
That it was, it had been ransacked and, you know, the spore was gone. And so they went back. So they're all there and they're like cocktail clothes.
Yeah.
And there's this part where Lisa's like, give me the tongs. And I think it's like Miyamoto, he just produces tongs like out of his suit. And he does this twice in this movie, by the way, because there's another part where they needed tongs and he just happens to have them too. And it's there that they spot the footprint and they pour this liquid on it. Do they do the thing where they pour the liquid on it and it makes it foam up?
No. Yeah. She goes, oh, well, first of all, they see the creature, which they all react to. And then Lisa freaks out and says, a footprint? That looks like a footprint. Where did it come from? And the footprint looked like there was like a yellow white goo in it already.
Oh, so that's the big footprint.
Yeah.
Oh, because like there's. So you oh, don't there, see,
yeah. I remember the little footprint. That's
the little
right.
footprint in the lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the monster shows up about 45 minutes into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So he like destroys the mountain and then all this like But it's like there's like this flooding that goes on, which I didn't understand where that all that liquid was coming from, and a blue glow, and then we kind of get a good look at the monster.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically what they look at the big footprint, the yellowy one, and then they look at the footprint, which was like the one that they poured the liquid on and it foamed up. Uh-huh. And they say, these footprints are clearly made by the same thing. All right, so let's talk about the monster itself. The monster, which is named Gilala.
Okay, it's the American version. They call him Gulala.
Oh, Gulala. Maybe.
Yeah, which I have some information on Gulala.
Go.
So I watched this trailer afterwards, and it starts off, it says a trailer, and it says special bulletin. And apparently what had happened is the studio that made the movie ran a contest, and they got 210,000 entries to name the creature.
The monster?
Yeah. Mm. But it was a contest for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so the winning entry from 210,000 was Gulala.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the name came from.
Okay.
Oh, and then while we're at it, the trailer also says that this is a special effects masterpiece and a pinnacle of filmmaking.
By the way, this is not Gulala's only movie.
What?
No, because in 2008, there's a movie that eventually we will get to that is called The Monster X Strikes Back, Attack the G8 Summit.
Whoa.
And Gulala returns.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see what Gulala looks like.
So many years later.
Yeah. Gulala's funny looking.
He's jacked.
But, like, leg day and arm day. He only works on his legs and arms. He's got this little tiny torso.
Yeah. But he's got really big in the upper arm strength.
Yeah.
He's like reverse Popeye. Gulala, you know what Gulala's face looks like? Is, you know the tiki drummers in the tiki room at Disneyland?
Yeah.
The one that that turns his head like side to side?
Yes.
He looks like that guy's head.
Totally.
The Gulala outfit's tough. It did appear that it's hard for that guy to see where he's going. Because the way he destroyed his building was kind of sloppy.
He kind of trips a couple times.
Yeah.
Sort of. It's definitely not a special effects masterpiece. I mean, the space stuff was cool.
Well, all the space stuff. Yeah. I'd give it to them for that.
Yeah.
And in come the toy tanks.
Oh, they're really, really toy tanks.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, he does this thing where, like, it didn't happen every time, but, like, the first, like, glamour shot of him shooting the fireball out of his mouth,
uh-huh.
His side flaps, whatever we call those part, his points on the side of his head, they curled up to do it.
That was kind of neat. But the fireballs shoot out really fast, and you're like, wait, did I just see that?
Yeah.
He just kind of—it doesn't really make a sound either, or at least in the version I saw, they just kind of like shoot out of his mouth.
That whole sequence of the tanks, the fights, then the jet fighters come and attack them. I wrote, this whole fight is everything you want in a kaiju movie.
Yes.
It was great.
Yeah, and then there was this one. I like this one jet crashing into its head for like no reason.
There's that one. Oh, it like stuck into him like a syringe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked like a mistake. Like, it got stuck, and he had to whack it down with his hands.
There's definitely mistakes.
There's a part where there's like a passenger plane flying by,
uh-huh.
And you see the two pilots of that plane look over and be like, oh, look at that, and then he burns that plane. So there's this, like, it's hard to tell exactly how, because, like, there's a moment where then the whole of this attack, it makes international news.
Uh-huh.
And we know that because we see a British newscaster say something. And then we see an Indian newscaster say something, and then an Asian newscaster says something. Like, so you kind of see like the news has traveled very quickly, but it seems like he's still in the same fight while all this news is happening. Yeah. So I don't know if this is like, it's like the same thing only later or not. But then he picks up a ship and he throws it at like a power plant.
Yeah. An oil tanker.
That was great.
Yeah. I like that. My next note is Gulala gets tangled on shit and trips all over the place. He goes through power lines. Like, he just gets completely tangled up in power lines.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where it's like you can tell they only had one shot at this stuff.
Yeah.
And they used everything they got.
Yeah.
But there's something about the creature like just being born and being on Earth for the first time where I'm like, I kind of like it.
That's interesting. So it was kind of like a puppy that's just all scrambly and sloppy.
Yeah.
That's what I have a note that says, the actor can't see shit.
Yeah.
So the decision to figure this out is to figure out how to fight Golala requires him to go back to the moon.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's just like we want, listen, they know that their butter is the stuff of the ships flying, so we had to do more of that stuff. Back to traveling music.
Yeah. So they get this stuff and they put it in a Jeep. They're going to try to lure it, kind of like the Muto in Godzilla.
Oh, right. Yeah. But because Gulala wants energy. He's looking for energy.
Yeah. Here. And I like that Gulala is chasing a model Jeep. Like, I like those shots with the little tiny Jeep. I love that Gulala picks up the Jeep and there's little tiny guys in it.
Yeah.
A little tiny guy falls out of it. And then it cuts to the live action guy just kind of tucking and rolling out of the fall.
The stuff that beats Gulala is Gulalanium.
Yeah.
I like it. This one, America doesn't want to drop another A-bomb on Japan. Because some of the movies are like, oh, Americans again, where they're trying to bomb us. FYI, the FAFC stands for Fuji Astro Flying Center.
Okay.
I paused it on like, you know, a sign in the guy's background. I liked when they're showing Gulala is destroying, basically he's destroying Tokyo and moving along across Japan. They have this cutout on the map board of Gulala, of like a monster shape, and they move it different parts of the map. Gulala travels, he can fly by turning into a red ball.
Yeah, that confused me.
Yeah, he's like Glinda the Good Witch from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. They need to evacuate or something. They force Lisa into the bed of a station wagon.
Yeah,
like she couldn't sit up. She couldn't sit up with the adults.
Both women had to ride in the back of the station wagon.
Then they like shove them in there. It was really bad.
Right. That's after the escape because Lisa got stuck because Gulala destroyed like the lab and Lisa was working there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and so she got stuck, and everyone came to save her.
Uh-huh.
And they come and they go grab the car, and the two women had to ride in the back, like the way I had to ride as a kid to go to the beach. It was like, yeah, there are no seats back there.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Before Lisa got stuck, though, there was that moment where because Gulala did that 1-2 punch on the tower, and it sent it flying.
Uh-huh.
And then it cut to him just kind of like celebrating what he just did. It's a pretty cool shot. I do like there's a moment when monsters will do something and then they just kind of stand there for a minute and just kind of, you know, enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, so this diversion works, and one of the dudes, this is the dialogue I've written down, maybe a little insensitive on this reading by the actor that dubbed it. They say they have succeeded diverting Gulala, but only temporarily.
Oh no.
And I don't know if that was just because it was a mouthful from saying Gulala, diverting Gulala temporarily, like there was too many L sounds already, but I was like, oh, that's not good. But there was no other signs of that anywhere else, but it was definitely noticeable.
Sorry, one second, my office chair has found like some bubble wrap. Every time I roll, it makes it keep popping. Okay.
So the plan works, and Gulala gets.
Wait, hold on. Okay, so the guys that are on like the suicide mission.
Yeah.
When they first showed up, and like when they first, they have these like silver, like golden age flash helmets on at first.
Uh huh.
And then there's that part when, like, one of them got really injured. Oh, by the way, there's a moment when they come into position to where they're going to start doing whatever their mission is. And one of them looks at Gulala and he's like, man, it's really huge. Like, there's like this, there's like almost like no real fear of being in the presence. Like, they don't give him the respect of how scary such a monster should really be. Uh-huh. But so then he's injured, and so it's like the whole rippy handkerchiefs thing to help him. And then the women show up, and then they have to help rip handkerchiefs. Because the women's job is to then be that guy's nurse.
Yeah. But they, like, fix him right away.
Yeah.
Gulala ends up being covered in the stuff.
Yeah, the shaving cream.
Yeah, and it's kind of gross. Or
it's like I was like, is it shaving cream? And then I was like, it looks like, is it, like, bubble bath? It's kind of like Christmas tree flocking.
Yeah.
It's like crusty.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking it was.
But he won't go down without taking another jet out with him.
Yeah. Like, at that point, the jets should just steer clear.
After a while, it looked like Gulala was, like, the butt of a practical joke. It's like, ah, I got creamed. But then it starts disintegrating into a big mound of white stuff.
Yeah, and Lisa says he's getting smaller.
Yeah, and which, she can't wait to touch it.
Which I could... I could not wait for a tiny Gulala because the way they were, I was hoping that the foam would like wash away and we would see a tiny Gulala, which that then
is so great. Like in those, like in the movie where like when like some guy gets shrunk and then you hear him with his little voice and be like, yeah. Hey, still mad.
Yeah.
And they kind of like pick him up with the tongs and put him in a jar.
And then I think I brought this up on an earlier show where we I posed the question, would you want a tiny Godzilla? And I was thinking to myself, would I want a tiny Gulala? Like in an aquarium? And I think the answer is yes. It's so silly looking. But it wasn't, we didn't really get to see a tiny Gulala. He just kind of reverted back into the spore.
Yeah.
Which beeps electronically.
Right.
Which doesn't make sense.
And again, the guy's ready with the tongs to give her so she can pick it up without touching it.
Yeah.
And then they shoot him out to space. For a second there, I thought they were going to fly him into space together. Like, I was like, oh, we're going to go back to space again? The whole second trip to space to work on the Gulalanium stuff was like so... Why do they have to go into space? Because they barely addressed. They went and came back so fast and so immediately.
Yeah, it was just for a couple more shots of the special effects masterpiece.
Yeah, and like he tells them, like, all right, everyone, buckle up. And they haven't even entered the Earth's atmosphere. Like they're like they're still so far away, but it's like get ready. I'm gonna fly us in myself.
Yeah, I thought Lisa was gonna jump off the cliff.
Yeah, Lisa's standing on the cliff's edge because she's heartsick.
Yeah.
And the guy who comes to comfort her, goatee guy. I was like, what the hell is this ending?
That's what I said. I said this weird epilogue with the love story kind of shows up. And then I wrote down, does Lisa love Gulala more? She really seems to be in love with Gulala.
She has this line, Gulala taught me an important lesson. Yeah. Thanks to him, I now realize that there's somebody else who loves Santa with all her heart. And then the love theme to Extra Amount of Space starts. This is another song that shows up. And it's just some like how small two people can be.
Oh, see, I didn't get translations on the songs. This movie is, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the stupidest movie we've watched?
Oh,
maybe Godzilla's Revenge with the little kid and the
yeah, that was pretty stupid,
but
it had Godzilla. It's pretty
Gulala.
It might be the stupidest. This one might, I might have to give this one the stupidest also because it's the freshest in my head, but the added blatant sexism.
Yeah, but it's, I loved it. I had so much fun watching it.
It's ridiculous.
It's so second rate.
Yeah, I mean that first shot where you see everyone, it's like it's all Japanese man, blonde pretty lady, Japanese man. And so as soon as the guy says Lisa, you go, I know who that is.
I like this. I like this movie a lot. I think it's,
this was a surprise. Like I happened to just be like it was just I was just like, every now and because like I'll flip through Turner Classic Movies and see what's coming up, and I just it had a little square picture of what's like whatever would be like the DVD box or the poster cover, and I was like, that's a kaiju.
Yeah.
And so I just had it sitting. It was sitting on my DVR for a while so I could tell you to add this to the list.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't on the list. I didn't even know about it.
I didn't know about this either.
And it's weird. And you could watch it free on YouTube.
It's very great, like, kind of seeing, like, just, like, Toho showing up and being like, you know, check out, we got these monsters around this. And then the other people being, like, going, we could totally cash in on this scam. And we can make our own monster movies. And then just kind of seeing other people kind of enter into the game and really try to do something. Yeah, I'm excited also just kind of see how they then revisit this in 2008.
Yeah, I'm going to have to add that to the list. I didn't know it existed. But then again, I didn't know this movie existed, you know,
yeah,
more than a week ago. Cool. Well, I enjoyed it. I recommend it. If you want to find it, it's free on
it's
YouTube.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
And it's goofy. It's definitely a goofy. Awesome. So next episode, we're going to be talking about Godzilla versus Space Godzilla from 1994. And head over to kaijupod.com to see what else is on our kaiju list. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and let us know if there's anything you want to add to the list that we can cover in the future. And yeah, that's it. I didn't come up with anything. So I'll say until next time, and I almost said until next tong. Until next time.
That's appropriate.
I'm going to take another trip to the moon.
I'm going to close the oxygen valve.
Perfect. この世界にあまりにもあまりにも二人は知り